I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, correspondent John Vlahovich introduces us to a new candidate for the Spokane Valley City Council, Michelle Rasmussen. Rasmussen is challenging an incumbent, Brandy Peets, from whom we heard Tuesday. Rasmussen is the Senior Director for Campus Services, Parking, and Transportation at Eastern Washington University. She serves on Spokane Transit's Citizen Advisory Committee and is a member of the Washington Department of Transportation's Transportation Demand Management Technical Committee. She previously worked for the City of Spokane Valley for 7 years and served on the city's Plan Commission. Rasmussen agrees with other candidates that the city's finances are in good shape, but she says she's concerned about the city's ability to remain fiscally conservative in the future. She cites her experience as a City Plan Commission member and executive assistant to both the city manager and the deputy city manager. She also cites her years working in the private sector and her experience with her husband operating their own business. Here she is with John Vlahovich.
So I'd like to ask you, Michelle, what prompted you, since you actually worked for the city, what was the reason you decided you wanted to go for the city council?
You know, I had an absolutely wonderful experience working at the city. There's some very, very educated, very hardworking staff there. So it was just a real good experience, and I think sometimes you end up going after a position of a good experience into wanting to further it more. When I left the city, I actually went out to Eastern Washington University, but I missed being part of the city involvement, and so I applied to become a planning commissioner and was accepted at that. It was a vacant position, and that was vacated for about 6 months, and then I applied again, and so I've been a planning commissioner for almost coming up on 3.5 years. And the more I got into the city aspects of both the internal and the external with the Planning Commission, I thought, you know, I've got a lot of experience here, and at my age, I thought it would be the right time for me to go ahead and offer that experience back to the citizens, and so I decided to run for council.
Let's talk, since you've got planning background, let's talk a little bit about planning and growth at the City of Spokane Valley. One of the I won't call it a complaint necessarily, but one of the comments I hear often is that Spokane Valley is sprawl. There's no there, so to speak. And what is your position on that? Should they be looking for making a city core, or is the growth the way it's going now working for Spokane Valley?
Well, back when I did work there, there was a plan called the SARP, Sprague-Appleway Revitalization Project, which would have really, it was an overreach, far overreach, because it would have changed zoning for many of the people's property who'd owned it for years. And when the council came on, they pretty much eliminated that plan. But within that plan, it did have a good aspect to it, which was a city core. And based on that, the city council, obviously, at that point in time had voted, and it was perfect timing with our finance director following funding and what was happening with bonding and rates, and us having such a great rating with the bonding agencies. It was a perfect time to go ahead and develop a city hall, because our rent was going up continuously, and it ended up saving the citizens over the long term substantial amounts of money. And in doing that city hall, and then in turn purchasing Balfour Park property with the hopes of the library being able to share part of that property and develop a much-needed library in the valley, that would begin the core of the city. And so I think it's happening. It doesn't happen overnight, but it definitely is on track to develop that core. And I think the more it goes, as the library comes in, as the park is developed, we're going to see other businesses start to build out from there.
The since its incorporation earlier in this decade, 2003, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Spokane Valley has actually been very economically quite strong, and it's not had to increase taxes. In fact, everybody that I see running for the council this year is saying we can go without a tax increase. You've been banking the property tax automatic increase, How much longer do you think that's going to continue?
Well, that leads us into the road preservation topic, I think. And yes, we've been very, very successful at being fiscally conservative with our taxpayers' money, and that's essential. At the time, I think, if I remember correctly, we were like in the top 3% in the nation that had the kind of reserves that we had set aside. Normally, I believe the state requires, at that time it was 12%. I think they've lifted it to 15, and here we have 50%. I mean, that's unprecedented. And it's a kudos to staff and to the direction that council has given staff. It's a collaborative movement to keep it that way. So, but we have one pressing issue that is no different than if you have a savings account set aside, which we do have surplus set aside in some of our funds because of the economic the value that we've got right now through this economy. We're gaining some revenues from it, but it does not mean that it's always going to be there. And surplus money should be looked at as one-time supplemental money instead of as a recurring expenditure money, because just because we have it today doesn't mean we'll have it tomorrow. And so pavement preservation, I have been voicing for quite some time, since I started my campaign actually, and even when I worked at the city, was that we have got to talk to the citizens and find out what level of pavement they want to drive on and what are they willing to pay to drive on that. And those are conversations we need to have with the citizens, because it's their tax dollars being able to pay for pavement preservation on a continual basis. And again, as I say, if you take the surplus money and use it, it's no different than if you rob your savings account. It will not be there when you don't have the money to put back into the savings account. So then what do? You're still left with the same problem. So it's time for those discussions.
And other communities, Spokane included, have created transportation benefit districts to come up with needed money for street maintenance. I know there's an initiative coming out that would eliminate that possibility, but assuming that you could still create a transportation benefit district, would that be an approach that you would consider?
I'm not so sure it would be. I think it's something that we need to take a look at a little bit more closely. There's reasons that it's maybe off the page for even being considered. I think we need to go back to the citizens and ask them, what is it that they want? And what method of revenue source do they want to be involved in? I am totally fine with listening to the citizens and finding out what it is they do want.
One other thing that Spokane Valley does not have, a lot of communities do, is they don't have their own department, like utility departments, police, fire, this sort of thing. You have private entities like Vera Water, Modern Electric Water, that provide utilities. You're contracted with the county for police service. There's Fire District 1, which provides fire protection. How much longer do you think that approach toward government in Spokane Valley can continue?
Well, I think it can continue as long as the citizens want it. One of the things that we are able to do, not having all of those entities, is keep the costs down. And if we're one entity that can keep costs down and yet continue to provide the services, quality services, which we have been doing, then I'm of the opinion, if it's not broken, why try to fix it? And I think that that's, it's a good model. It's a contract model. We get competition through our contracting, and so the citizens get the best bang for the buck.
And in terms of things like fire protection, where Fire District 1 has its own taxing and it has its own special levy every few years, that does not concern you as a possibility that one day down the line there may not be fire protection service?
Well, at this point, it's being passed every year.
Right.
I really don't see that in the valley. And for us to pick up something like that, the costs would be exorbitant. And I think that we would end up having a lot more expenditures. And as long as the citizens are happy with what is laid out today with districting, with fire and water and those types of things, then let's stay with it.
Some other aspects of the city, and I know that the city government is looking into it, is parks and recreation. They're looking at improvements to parks, the Appleway Trail, the Balfour Park, and Mirabeau Park, among other things. What's your position on parks and recreation?
You know, I'm a person who grew up with a father who was a director of parks and recreation in the city of Renton for 30 years. So I'm near and dear to parks. I understand. He grew up through the Depression as a latter teen age man. And one of the things through his high school time frame, which was that Depression era, was being able to have access to recreation. It's to recreate. It's to be able to have the ability to go do things without having to pay for them. And that's what parks offer our citizens. And so not unlike the time then, we have a lot of citizens who can't afford to go. My goodness, the movie theaters are so expensive. And a lot of other entertainment, skiing. I don't even think I could afford skiing. When I quit skiing, a ticket was $25 for the day. And I don't even know what it is today. So I am very pro parks. I'm very pro putting money into them to find lands for more of them and to be able to have them available for our citizens.
There are other problems that are not directly involving the city but are peripheral because there is development in Spokane County that impacts Spokane Valley. I'm thinking of the Southeast Saltese area, 24th and Sullivan area, the Northwoods up beyond. All of that is impacting the valley because people are using valley streets and other valley infrastructure. So how do you see the valley working with the unincorporated Spokane County areas to mitigate these problems?
Yeah, that's a good question because I know a lot of people are asking what we're doing. And when it's development outside of the county, we have no control over that. What we can do is to work with the county if we know that projects are coming and try to mitigate what might impact that might be, not only for whoever is going to be living in the county side, but also for the city side. And, you know, we work with the county through our contract with the police department, and we have worked over the years to become collaborative in, for instance, sharing resources in the sense that we provide resources to help in the hiring of police officers. It's something that affects not only our area, but it affects the region through a collaborative agreement. We have a specific agreement for City of Spokane Valley, but in that agreement, the sheriff can use those police officers as needed. So I kind of look at this situation that you're discussing as a potential for future as well for mitigation.
And one of the priorities also listed in the city council documents are the continuing Bridging the Valley effort. I know they're about to start next spring. They're going to start in earnest on the Trent Barker
overpass.
Overpass there to mitigate the train problem. They're also looking at Trenton Park, Trenton Pines, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we've got Sullivan as well.
And so are you familiar with what the approach is for that? And are you on board with that?
Yes, definitely. We've gotten the funding for the Barker. We're in the process of moving forward with that and just the right-of-way acquisitions and moving forward to start that project fully next year. As far as the Pines, we ended up putting some of our surplus money toward grants that we had received so that we could extend the grant funding into the acquisition and right-of-way acquisition and design phase on the Pines roadside. We've also applied for another grant and waiting to hear concerning that where we stand. Again, back to the surplus money. That is why I am adamant of not using surplus money as a reoccurring expenditure for something else. As pavement preservation. It's these kinds of grant fundings that come forward for the state and the federal grants that we can access. For we've got Sullivan coming around the corner and we still have Park Road beyond that. So we need to have that funding available to be able to go ahead and do the match and maybe live even a little bit more to gain the long-term effects of what that grant funding can do for us. Because the citizens can't carry the load on these types of projects.
Some of some of the other candidates for city council have mentioned that they have no problem accepting federal funds for this type of work and what have you. Are you in the same boat?
I am. It's still our citizens' taxes. It's just in a different form that they're being used back in our region, which I'm okay with that.
Sullivan, not just Trenton Sullivan, but Sullivan itself is one of the most heavily trafficked streets in the entire county. Is there any way we can mitigate some of that traffic, particularly from I-90 south towards Sprague and the Central Valley High School?
Well, very similar to what we're doing with Barker. That will, I'm sure, be on the map, roadmap, to be able to improve the traffic pattern through that area.
Now, turning to a completely different subject, there's been a certain amount of criticism from your big brother neighbor to the west about the Spokane Valley City's participation in solving homeless problems in the region as such. I'd be interested in hearing what your take is on homelessness, particularly in Spokane Valley and in the region.
Well, you know, they say that we don't participate in it, and which is troubling, because the city attorney did present something to the council not that long ago that stated we are putting $1.2 million in deferring that over to Spokane County to manage it, but we are paying $1.2 million into that. So we are participating. It's just that we don't have the actual facilities built within our own city. So by participating with them, then we are taking more of a collaborative approach with the city of Spokane because they have the facilities. Yes, homelessness is an issue. It's a multifaceted issue. It is not strictly just the fact that people are without housing because they wanted to be. We have a mixture of mental health issues. We have a mixture of drug and alcohol problems. And then we have those who have truly become homeless because, no different than in the 2008 through 10, maybe some of them have lost their homes then and never got back on their feet. One of the things that I was talking to Arnie Wittard on, because I knew a lot of friends and family that happened, they lost their jobs just after purchasing a home in 2010 and worked three jobs to try to make ends meet. And they were short by about $100 to $200 a month. And it's a circumstance where we've got House Bill 1406 that's on the table to be able to return some of the city tax dollars back to us as a city. But it doesn't allow the use of those tax dollars to be put back into keeping people from becoming homeless. And I know Arnie has, we were just talking about this the other day, and I was sharing with him there should be a way to keep people in their homes when something like this happens. And he came forward and said that he's on it. He's already working on this. And so I was excited to hear that. He's quite a forward-thinking individual. And maybe better use of that funding, because we don't have a lot of, it's not going to be a lot to hit the magnitude of what we've got with this homelessness, but maybe it could be used to supplement people, to keep them in their homes to start with. The ones that really do, they have a job, they just need the help to get through a hard time. As far as from a community-wide stance, we need to look at some data, and I don't know if anybody has really done the research on it to determine what level of homelessness is either mental health, drug addiction, or truly just down on their luck. And before we jump into throwing money into something like Seattle has done, because they've thrown millions into this and it's only increased the population of homeless, so that obviously is not the way to go. So maybe we need to, even though it's a pressing issue, step back a little bit and, of course, allow the Supreme Court, hopefully, to take a look at that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision and not tie our police officers' hands on public camping and being able to move people into the direction, because they're our first responders and they're able to be able to take a look at a circumstance, assess and determine, does this person need to go into a rehabilitation or into a mental health facility, or do they just simply need help, and then give them the resources. And so as a community, we need to come together kind of get proactive on the side of resource building and to be able to have those things in place so that our police officers can do their job. But we cannot just simply throw people into housing and pay their way without expecting some kind of return on the investment. That's not fair to the hard-paying taxpayers who are working daily.
So, is there any issue, any topic that we haven't covered so far that you'd like to comment on?
You know, I am very proud to be part of Spokane Valley. I, you know, being a part of working there and seeing the effort that when we came through the hard time of the economic recession, we did hypothetical planning processes of 3%, 6%, and 9% reductions in the business plan. And I worked with all the different departments and in asking them what would that look like? What would it look like if we had to cut our budget by those amounts? What kinds of services would we lose if we had to do this? And in the process of doing it, the city manager and the finance director, with council's direction, they were able to maneuver through the downturn very well. And one department may have cut 6.5% because they could. Another department then took the difference and only could cut 1.5 to 2% because that's all they could in order to keep the services going. But it was a moving document. It was a moving decision between what council's deciding what they wanted to accomplish and then staff putting that forth. And I think it's a kudos to both sides to be able to have gone through that time and come out still now with 50% reserves. Now, that says a lot. And if anybody has done budgeting in their past, you know that's a lot.
That's Spokane Valley City Council candidate Michelle Rasmussen talking with correspondent John Vlahovich. Her opponent is incumbent councilwoman Brandi Peets, from whom we heard in our last podcast. We posted John's interviews with the 6 Spokane Valley City Council candidates at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Go to the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.